You're listening to Shoreditch Radio. Shoreditchradio.co.uk.
Welcome to another episode of Conway Social Network. My name, coincidentally, is Eleanor Conway, and on today's show, we have a little bit of this.
I got a lift in a speedboat with Ellie from LaRue.
And a little bit of that.
And the girl came back to my house and urinated on my floor.
As well as taking your track suggestions from Twitter and Facebook, I'm joined in the studio in darkest East London by comedians Lloyd Griffiths.
Hello!
And Barnaby Slater.
Hello!
And we have a mystery special guest coming up later. But first, let's play a track suggested on Twitter by Jesse James. It's Icy Ones and Whack Jack.
Though I probably get it wrong, all I want for you to do is notice. Open your eyes and look to the surface. How many times have you broken my heart? 'Cause I'm so mad into you, I'm willing to go there no matter how far. But it's time we knew. Time you knew the truth, that I'm a little bit whack-jack, little bit mental, little bit cuckoo but experimental, little bit too mad, can never go too far, little bit of madman, I'm searching for your heart, little bit whack-jack, little bit mental, little bit cuckoo but experimental, little bit too mad, can never go too far.
You're listening to Shoreditch Radio.
Shoreditchradio.co.uk. Okay, he's a big bone Bieber believer, Grimsby's number one Jack Black impersonator, and a real life human being, allegedly. Let's welcome to the studio Lloyd Griffiths.
Yes.
Hello there. Hello. Bieber believer. Wow, that's an introduction and a half, that is.
I know, but it begins with a B.
Thanks very much. So does beautiful, but you didn't mention that, did you?
I could have called you a beautiful Bieber believer.
Ah, too late now, isn't it? But hey, thank you for having me today.
No, not at all.
It's lovely to be here.
What have you been up to? I hear you've been in an advert.
Oh, I don't like to mention that for legal reasons, because I'm in the process of being cast in many at the moment. But yeah, no, I was in an advert that many people hate. But hopefully that will all be over on Saturday once the FA Cup final is done. But yes, no, it's I've just been busy today, you know, just writing and and reading. Writing and reading, really. Yeah,
that's good. What were you reading?
My own writing. So it kind of just seamlessly went into one, really.
Joined up writing? Or?
Do you know what? I actually have very, very smart writing. I can give you a little example of my writing here.
Really come across very well on radio.
No, but what I want you to do, I want you to go, oh, that's incredible writing.
Right,
do you just want to
have a look
at it?
Oh, can I read it?
No, because there are notes that I've written down. But could you just, vouch for that?
Okay. Everyone at home, he does indeed have beautiful... beautiful writing. I'm glad we've wasted 5 seconds to find that out.
You're listening to Shoreditch Radio.
Shoreditchradio.co.uk.
In the mix.
We need to make up the final piece of the social network art today with our missing link. Mark Oliver described him as having a mind like a Narnia of horrors, which is a fantastic quote by a comic I've actually never heard of. But you'll have heard of this dude soon. His name is Barnaby Slater.
Hello. The irony of that quote of yours there is that Mark Oliver is actually the only person who listens to this radio station. So
that's very good. Well,
you shouldn't probably slag him.
No, I'm not slagging him.
Said you've never heard of him. He's a brilliant comedian.
I'm not saying he's not. Well, I'm merely
backtracking. You're very defensive, Eleanor, today. As well as having those lovely smooth armpits, I can see.
I know. Thank you. We've discussed them before the show.
It's lovely to be here, Eleanor. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you.
You're wearing flip-flops, which I'm really glad that you made the effort.
I am. It's been a lovely sunny day, and so I like to air my feet if I can.
Good.
You're listening to Shoreditch Radio.
Shoreditchradio.co.uk. So I'm trying to sidestep the conversation into a little bit of celebrity news. Justin Bieber kissed a girl, Cheryl took her hobnobs to LA, and of course it was the premiere of the hotly anticipated Made in Chelsea. They didn't talk like that though.
Made in, that's what you've done there, is you've mixed The Only Way is Essex and Made in Chelsea, which is
probably should have said Made in Chelsea.
Made in Chelsea, yeah, indeed. I watched it last night for the first time, as most people.
I was busy.
Were you?
Yeah.
It was horrendous. It was truly.
Why did you watch it, Lloyd?
Well, I just got in from another filming, and
CCTV doesn't count.
Oh, here we go. And it was on the TV. So I thought, well, I knew I was going to be doing this today. I thought this would be something to
Preparation.
Preparation.
Yeah, that's good. Very professional. That's good.
Thanks very much. That's what I said in the casting.
I was gigging because I'm a comedian, so that's what I do.
Ooh.
Well, do you know what? This week I've only got one gig.
Yeah.
So for a comedian, that's poor.
That is poor, yeah. Mm. But, you know, they all count. Sometimes double. Is this the right time to tell you that I'm doing the Brighton Festival at the moment, Saturday and Sunday at the Temple, 5:15?
Absolutely.
Oh, there you go then.
Slipped it in there. Yeah.
Is this the right point to say that today it was announced that I will be MC on the early show for Big Value, Just a Tonic in Edinburgh? Just want to pick that up.
That is excellent news. Congratulations.
Congratulations, very good. I've got no news, but I will be in Edinburgh.
How early is that early show? Is that like 4 a.m?
4 a.m. I don't know, actually. I think it's 7:30, I think.
That's brilliant. That is a big deal. To people who don't know comedy, that is a big deal. Back to Made in Chelsea.
Yeah,
then,
back to Made in Chelsea. I was expecting you to come back with something that you wanted to talk about.
Well, no, I watched it, and I'm not sure if you know the premise of Made in Chelsea. It follows the structure.
I believe it's got quite a complex narrative arc, has it not?
It has, yeah. It is very, you know what I mean? I think that they must have spent months learning their lines.
I believe it was written by the same person who wrote The Rugrats.
The Rugrats.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Possibly.
It rivals Mad Men. Mad Men. Imagine.
Who is the Donald Draper? Sorry to keep interrupting, but who is the Donald Draper of Made in Chelsea? Or whatever it's called. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Made in Chelsea, yeah.
I've got a list, and I'd think it was probably Spencer.
Which one's Spencer? Is he the one with the Fabio-esque hair?
Well, yeah, and I've written a list of the people that are in it last night.
Okay,
and,
cool. Do you want to run us through them?
Yeah, no, there's Kaggy. I put singer, socialite.
Mm.
Millie, literally can't remember, because they all look the same, really.
Mm.
Spencer, I put beard, and then Belle.
Oh, he's the fit one.
Oh, is he?
He's the only fit. Well, he's the one with the cheeky smile.
He's the one with the beard, and he...
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's two-timing.
Yeah.
He wants Kaggy, doesn't he?
Correct. That is correct, yeah. Then there's Frederick, who I've also put model, and then Belle. He's the one that looks like his face has been... Hugo, I put complete Belle, and then proper Belle.
Mm.
Ollie... I quite like him. He's the only person.
One?
He's the one that you think is gay, but isn't gay because he goes on a date with a girl.
Mm. That confused me. That's
it. Confused me to the point of thinking I'm confused. And I quite like Ollie, but at first I was like, oh, I'm not too sure I like him. And then I was like, oh, I do like him a lot. And then Francis, who I've put scrawny, and again Belle. So there's a theme going.
Are they
around.
All part of the Belle family?
Yeah, what? They're campanologists.
Okay.
So yeah,
I don't know what that means.
Bell ringers.
Very clever. See, one step ahead.
If there was a hypothetical program called The Only Way is Grimsby, where would be the three sort of hub, the three social hubs? So you'd have the fishmongers. You'd have the. You'd have what? Grimsby FC.
Yeah, Blundell Park, the home of football.
Of course, naturally, and then the
home
third?
Of a football.
I think my mum's guest house would probably draw a lot of attention.
Your mum has a guest house.
Yes, she does. H&G guest house for all your guest house needs in Grimsby and Cleethorpes.
What star is she?
Scorpio.
Yeah, oh, I was about to do that. I was about to do that, but I was like, Aquarius. I don't think she's. It's weird.
She's not starred. Does she just put up a bunk bed in
she's
spare?
She's AA two stars.
I think she's. You get rosettes, I think. RAC rosettes.
I beg your pardon. I'm so sorry.
But she has a number of guest houses. But I think my mum's guest house would be a perfect place for.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Is it fair to say that your mum's guest house is 99% floral?
No, it's not.
Really?
No, it's not.
That's my vision.
No doilies. You haven't been to Grimsby, have you?
Is there a peppermint pit? Is there a peppermint green anywhere on the walls or dusty pink?
My mum is very
it a
cool.
B&B?
It's kind of a boutique B&B that she
doily?
Can't be really bothered to kind of upkeep anymore.
That's cool.
Like she's I love my mum to bits, as you should.
I've met your mum actually.
What?
I've met your mum.
Oh, you have at the Bread and Roses.
Bread and Roses, ages ago. Yeah, she's lovely.
She did fall asleep during the headline
is
act.
Is this a Christian thing? What?
It's not a Christian thing.
There's a comedy night called Interestment Get Up Stand Up, and it's held at a pub called the Bread and Roses.
Can I get a spot?
It's just closed down, actually. But it has closed down. But there is one last night that I, in fact, am promoting myself.
A charity thing?
It is a charity thing. It's called Charity Case. It's on the 9th of June. We have got a Banderman. We have got Joe Wilkinson, Carl Donnelly, Ramesh Ranganathan, and myself emceeing. This has gone from charity to self-gain. It's at www.charitycasecomedy.co.uk. Get your tickets. They're only £12.50. If you guys want to come down, I will reserve you a ticket. You'll have to pay, but it's...
What, we have to pay, so we're not on the guest list?
You're on a guest list, but it's a paying guest list.
It's a paying guest list where you have to pay for the full price of the
charity,
ticket.
It's charity, isn't it?
It's charity. I'm paying.
I'm busy that night. When is it?
9th of June.
There you go. That's a Ricky Gervais joke for you that I just stole. You can have it.
Thanks. Rob Broderick, it'd be great though. He played one of mine. Like, he did my opening night. Which the next one is June, the second time of the month. We've got Chris Dangerfield and Katie Wilkins performing. Quick plug there. Everyone else plugged it. It's at Siegfried's Underbelly, timeofthemonthcomedy.com.
Nice.
Do it.
I've never seen Chris Dangerfield, but I hear good biological things about him.
Oh, did he?
Apparently.
Oh, did he put his cock in someone's face?
Something like that.
Okay. To be honest, I wouldn't be surprised. Let's move to a song. Can we move to a song, people?
Yes.
So, Lloyd, you've got a song for us. Which song is it?
It's Miles Kane. Absolutely fantastic. I saw him about a year ago in Camden, and he's gone on his own now, solo. So this track is called Rearrange. I should know that because I've been listening to it all day. But this is Miles Kane and Rearrange.
There you go.
Measure all your spinning whispers in the
back in the studio. Conway Social Network. I don't even know what that woo was for. In the studio, we've got Lloyd Griffith.
Hello.
I pronounced your name wrong about that.
Lloyd Griffith, that's right.
Is that right?
Yeah, it just sounds like you've got a lisp at the end of it because there's no S.
Sounds so, a little bit retarded. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Okay.
That's a good. All right. Barnaby Slater.
I don't think you can say retarded. Also, if you could call me Banabi Slater, that would be great.
Banabi Slater. Or B Unit, maybe, two fans.
B Dog, ideally.
B Dog.
Yeah.
B Slates.
B Slats.
B Slats.
Yeah, people call me Slats or Duck-billed Slatopus.
Did you have a nickname at school?
Yes, a number, one of which was Rugrat Twat.
Rugrat Twat. Wow, that's incredible. I never had any nicknames at school.
I don't believe that.
Did you ever want to make up your own, like, name?
Well, no, my sister, because my sister got a name. My, obviously, surname is Griffith, and she got called Griff. And we were in the same school, and everyone was calling her Griff. And like, my friends were like, why has your sister got a nickname? She's only seven.
Aww.
I'm like, I honestly don't know. Why is it you have a nickname? I'm like, well, I'm clearly not cool enough.
Oh, well, this was before Harry Potter. You would have been called Gryffindor or whatever the bloody thing's
I've
called.
I've never been called that in my life.
Oh. And I will, maybe we could start doing it now. We could start off a trend.
Please don't.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is this a bad time to say that I just don't get the whole Harry Potter phenomenon?
I've never read one book, and I've seen half a film.
Ooh, which one? Not that I know.
Philosopher's Stone.
Oh.
He means Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone.
When I lived in Korea, all the kids used to go, "Hey, Harry Potter." When it just makes sense.
Sounds Northern Irish. Hey, Harry Potter.
How about a night?
No, Scottish, actually. Mine was Scottish. Yours was a...
Thank you.
Yeah. How are you?
The thing with Northern Irish, they're so aggressive.
Pace.
That's a good accent.
I've been out with some Irish girls.
Have you?
Yeah. Mm. I love the Irish girls, actually. I'm all over it.
I've got a date with an Irish bloke on Thursday.
Oh, I wanted to talk about your date on Thursday.
Right,
I saw that on Twitter.
All right, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about this. Context, how did you meet him? Who is he?
Oh, internet dating.
Which one? My single friend.
Okay, Cupid.
Okay, not Christian Mingle.
Christian Mingle?
I don't even know what
you
that
haven't
is.
Seen the advert for ChristianMingle.com?
No, I'm not Christian.
Yeah, that's why I think you should sign up to it. Get yourself a nice Christian man.
Oh, I don't
know. So which one are you in?
Okay, Cupid.
What have you found out about him so
far?
Well,
we've had a chat. We've had a chat for about 50 minutes.
So on the phone?
Yeah, on the phone.
That's nice.
Yeah, that is good.
Was he automated?
No, he wasn't. That's good. For once. That's quite fortunate for me.
What's his name?
I'm not saying his name. Just
why?
Just
his first name.
Make a name up. Let's call him.
Let's be honest. Let's do some honesty here.
His name is S Dog.
Oh, God.
So it's Steve.
Yeah.
So you got
or Sam.
Or Sam. It's Sam, isn't it?
No, it's neither of them, but he's Irish.
Okay, good.
And
tall,
and he's not a comedian or work in the creative industries, which is a bonus.
He's
that's
normal.
Good.
Normal.
I want to be with a creative, I think. Don't I? Don't I want to be with a creative? Lloyd?
Are you a single
man, Barnaby?
I am. But no, I'm not. Hold on. Sorry, I had to remember that. Well,
dumped. Barnaby's girlfriend is now DUMPD.
No, I'm not single, but I like to be with people who are creative. That's what I'm saying. So I've just had a call from my agent. She says that I am single, and that's important for my fans.
I say that I'm single, and my girlfriend brought her friends to see me, and then they looked icy at me, looking. Do you know you've got a girlfriend and she sat right next to me? I'm fully aware of that.
That shows that you're a lazy writer. You haven't written through your change in circumstance.
Before that, I had many a girlfriend up and down.
A lot of mine is about having a girlfriend. Aww. And sometimes I don't have a girlfriend. And to be honest, I feel guilty about the fraudulent aspects of my storytelling at that point. But I get over it when people fall about.
But I know, but then you're cock blocking yourself if you don't mention the fact that you're now single.
I'd love to see that.
And I think you'll realise this, Eleanor, from your own experiences, that girls are far more attracted to boys with girlfriends than they are to single girls.
I do a little thing at the end the whole way through I say I'm single, and at the very end I kind of try and engage in a date with a girl, and it goes down with a bit of a laugh, and then I leave, and every now and then a girl comes up to me and goes, okay, when's that date then? I'm like, oh, I'm really sorry. I've got a girlfriend, and that was just a part of the whole set. She went, so you don't want to go on a date with me? I was like, I'm really sorry. And she went, why did you humiliate me in front of all my friends? I'm like, I'm so sorry. One girl followed me to my next gig and was like, right, when's our date then? And I was
that's nice. I think it shows you build up a rapport with your audience.
It is nice. Also a little bit weird, though. Yeah, but for a fat bloke from Grimsby, I'm quite happy that I can still.
Are you choosing bingers or are you choosing good ones that you're using this part of the set for?
It depends, because you can't be picky, because if there's only two girls in the front row, then you have to got a 50% chance.
They're both ugly.
Well, the thing is, though, it's like a lot of community, like a lot of girls that come to my gigs are young, beautiful girls. So
Helena, I get from your previous comments that you're not really much of a feminist.
Well, it depends what feminist means.
It means that you don't talk about other women as being ugly and mingers. That's the one thing I know about feminism.
I know, but I talk about guys in the same respect.
Well, that's okay.
So where are you going on your date, Eleanor?
I don't know. I haven't been told yet.
Which Wagamama's are you going to?
Maybe Nando's, if I'm lucky.
Nando's hot peri peri sauce, please.
Yeah.
You're listening to Shoreditch Radio. Shoreditchradio.co.uk.
So I asked people earlier on today on Twitter if they had any advice, do's and don'ts, of what to do on this blind date. First time I'm meeting this chap, I kind of always end up messing stuff up on dates. Maybe you guys can give me a bit of feedback on some of the tweets that I received today. Are you up for that?
Yeah, yep, absolutely.
Okay, cool, good. Maybe you can choose your favourite, actually, out of that, instead of me going through them all.
Okay, I will go for... if it's with Ryan Giggs, don't go. I have no idea what that's a reference to. Anyone? Anyone got any idea? It's not something to do with a super injunction, is it?
Oh, I think it might be.
No, I think I know it is. I believe if it's with Andrew Marr as well, don't go as well. That's what I'd suggest.
Yeah, okay. I'm pretty sure that S-Bot or S-Dog is neither of those.
Okay, sorry, I should say, obviously, as a radio professional, that one was from Pete2Boogie.
Yeah.
Ian Autonomous said, get really pissed and then cry a lot. Men love that.
And
let me say,
true?
I am officially a man, and I tend to prefer that to come about a year into the relationship, ideally, when you're least expecting it, because they've tricked you for a year, like they're amazingly perfect and normal, and then suddenly no, they're just the same as me.
When was the last time you cried? Do you ever cry? Boys never cry, do they?
Yes.
Do you cry?
All the time. Sporting
really?
Montages. Sporting montages.
Sporting montages. Are you serious?
Yes. Deadly serious. And rom-coms. I'm a big fan of the rom-com, and you know, I'm not afraid to admit that I've watched every episode ever of Sex and the City. I liked Aiden as well, but Berger. Remember Berger?
No.
Berger was the guy who first said he's just not that into you.
Oh yeah, that was a defining scene. That was my awakening as a female.
It became a film.
On the Twitters, Neil M. White has said, don't start any sentence with, one time, my ex-boyfriend, which I think is very, very valid. There's a comedian whose name I won't mention, but I'm very good friends with him. He was seeing this girl who seemed very lovely, and she then started asking him to wash with a certain shower gel because she liked that smell. And then she asked him to use a certain deodorant because she liked that smell. And then she asked him to wear certain clothes, and it got to the point where he was like, any reason? She's like, oh, well, just, you know, they're just my... they're my ex-boyfriend's clothes. And basically, she's trying to get him to dress like her ex-boyfriend.
Really?
Super yeah. Weird. So don't do that, I think, is the key to that one.
I went on a date, another internet date ages ago. And the dude, you know, when I was, he had like this picture and it was kind of like horizontal. And I thought, oh, it's beautiful. It's like one of those panoramic shots. Turns out he was bald. Photoshopped it. And then he took me out. We went out and I was like, this date is getting very, very bad. We ended up going to that place, the Blue Bar on Hoxton Square.
Oh yeah.
And we're having a drink some here. Things are good. And then he heard that I was a music journalist at the time, and he was like, oh yeah. And like he totally changed, and then he started break dancing and circling me, with me just looking quite uncomfortable in this bar on a Wednesday night.
That's brilliant.
Nice. Not good.
I went on a date once and the girl came back to my house and urinated on my floor.
Oh, can we
go to a track?
Don't talk it out, just lock them out. These days you can't afford to trust a man with a plan who wears his heart on his sleeve. Oh, missed your chance. These days you can't afford to sell yourself short. It's raining now and you're outside. The night is long.
Listening to Shoreditch Radio.
Shoreditchradio.co.uk. That was Bordeaux and Heartstrings. I've left the boys in the studio to track down a special man somewhere in Soho. Not that kind of man, you dirty minxes. He's the son of music pioneer the late John Peel, host of his own show on BBC Radio 6, and presenter of Channel 4's Abbey Road debuts. He's cute, he's charming, he is in fact Tom Ravenscroft. Tom Ravenscroft, how are you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
You're good?
All the better for seeing you. You're looking quite sprightly.
Am I?
Yeah.
I'm feeling that sprightly, but if I'm looking sprightly, that's good.
Yay.
I'll take that.
All right, so the last Abbey Road debuts aired this week, is that right, or last week?
Yeah, it was Wednesday night. It's gone. Subtract was the last one in this series. And very good he was too.
Yeah?
Yeah, him and Sampha, two kind of frighteningly talented boys. I imagine they're going to be huge fairly soon, if not already. Their album's coming out soon, which I have, and it's extraordinary, but I've been told by their label I'm not allowed to play it.
Oh.
Which is very annoying indeed, but anyway.
Did you have much say about who appeared on the show?
A fair amount of say. I mean, it was kind of a combination between me, the producer at Abbey Road, Suze, and I think maybe a little bit of influence from Channel 4. So I think I got an influence. I mean, I think a lot of the stuff that I possibly proposed, I think was maybe a little too extreme for them. But you know, we kind of.
But did they have to rein you in? Were they like, no, Tom?
We kind of met somewhere in the middle.
So, a Mongolian marching band, can't bring them on.
Why not? So yeah, we met in the middle, and it's good. You know, I liked all the acts. You know, I really liked all the acts that that performed. So you know, it's great. So
it's
yeah,
good.
I don't think I don't think it's in anyone's interest for them to put on acts that I don't really like, because I'm really bad at lying, and it'd be really, really obvious.
That's it. They're all available on 4OD, aren't they?
They are indeed. Yeah, they're all there.
That's good if you want to view them. What was I going to ask for? Oh yeah, I noticed. I can't remember which episode I was watching. You have quite an informal interviewing style. You're just like talking to them while they're like tuning up and just setting up.
I'm awful at interviewing. I'm really, really bad at it. I just terrible at it. So I think the only way around it is for me to go and chat rubbish to people. Also, I'm really bad at talking to people about music in particular, which obviously is really, really unhelpful for me, especially in what I do. But I'm really bad at talking to people about music. So I tend to just talk about almost anything but. Yeah, I don't think it gets much more informal than that. But you know, the band seem okay with it, and Channel 4 don't seem to mind, so we're getting away with it.
Yeah! Nobody's noticed yet. I noticed like you had the audience members and they were like all wearing like headphones, which I thought was nice, you know, they get to experience the final mix.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, you know, quite often when you go to sessions and things, if you're actually standing in the room and sessions are being recorded, what you're hearing is, you know, often pretty damn awful, because you know you're not hearing what's going through the mixing desk. So rather than, you know, having people there, all they can hear is drums. You know, we put the headphones on so people get to hear a proper like Abbey Road mix.
Why not a bigger audience? Was there a limited supply of headphones?
There wasn't. Do you know what? They have quite an astronomically large amount of headphones. A bizarre amount, in fact. I think we could have invited, you know, most to St John's Wood. Is that where it is? It is where it is. But yeah, it's a small crowd, you know, it's a small intimate thing.
Because in the audience, there was only about like 20 people or something.
Yeah, there is. And the canteen at Abbey Road is very small, so we didn't have anywhere to store them before and after. So.
Oh, listen. I wanted to play one of the first single that you bought. Do you remember what it is? It's quoted in The Guardian, I think, an interview that you did a couple of years back. Do you remember what the first single was that you bought?
I think it's a hardcore record.
Yeah.
Is it 6 Days on the Run?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm glad I didn't lie there. Yeah, it was the first 12-inch I bought, yeah.
Do you want to introduce it for us?
This is 6 Days on the Run. I don't remember who it's by.
Well, I thought it was DJ Dougal. The seminal hardcore... No,
I
it's
don't
not.
Think it is.
The seminal hardcore DJ.
I know it's on Remix Records, though. That I can tell you. Or my coffee was.
Were you a raver?
Well, no, I bought the records, but I was kind of too young and nervous to go to the raves, so I used to buy the box sets after the raves had happened.
Aww.
And then kind of try and recreate in my bedroom with my friends and some cheap booze. It worked for us.
That's so sweet. Right, can you introduce it for us, Tom?
This is 6 Days on the Run. Who's it by? Who are you going to say it's by?
Well, I don't know. We can make up a name.
Okay. This is 6 Days on the Run. It's on Remix Records, and I can't for the life of me remember who it's by. I'm sure you can find out for yourselves if you like it.
Yeah, Google it.
Crazy.
Okay, that was 6 days on the run. Tom Ravenscroft's still here with me. What are you doing in the summertime? What festivals have you got lined up?
It's a little unclear. I know I'm doing Lounge on the Farm, which I am doing a programme for Channel 4. So I'll be down there for a couple of days, chatting to all the artists that are on there. I suspect I'll probably be at Glastonbury. I don't know if I'm working there yet or not, or whether I'm just hanging out. But I imagine I'll be down there. And I don't know, I tend to get told about what's going on with festivals quite late. I'm the guy they ring last. I'm not quite sure yet. It's slowly being unravelled, I think, at the moment. I'm getting kind of bits of information about, you know, what's going on at the moment. So I'm not quite sure.
Obviously, your dad is late John Peel.
He is.
And you must have been privy to some like mental, like, musical experiences as a kid growing up. Is there any that you might want to like retell for us?
I don't know really. I mean, it didn't. None of them seemed. I mean, they didn't obviously didn't really seem that mental to us at the time. Just because I don't know really. I guess we didn't really know anything else. So, I mean, there's always lots of interesting things going on. You know, got to go and see lots of bands and got to festivals, and obviously we had people performing around at the house quite a bit. Which you don't really think of at the time as being
particular.
Well, I mean, obviously you realise that it's great, but I don't think it's until quite a while afterwards you realise just how great it was, and that you probably should have paid a bit more attention at the time. I think I went out a couple of times, which is really awful. I think Blur came round once to do a concert in the garden, and I went round to my friend Giles's house. So that's how ungrateful I was.
So you're just like, what's going on here? Blur around our mouth.
I think I missed quite a few of them because I thought there was more interesting things to be done in the local village. So yeah, I kind of regret that a little bit. I missed some great bands playing at the house because I went and sat around my idiot friends' houses and smoked cigarettes.
Mm.
Yeah, it seemed very cool at the time. Now it seems a bit sad.
Oh, bless you. Okay, You said previously the worst song that you've heard is Fairground by Simply Red. Is that true? Do you still
it's a hateful, hateful song. I really hate it. I hate a lot of songs, obviously. It's just that one. It's the one that always springs to mind.
Have you ever met Mick Cucknell?
No. I don't think... I can't see that happening.
You're listening to Shoreditch Radio.
It was really muddy last festival. Yes, last year.
The last year, I was very late and I got stuck there. It's this amazingly rock and roll story in that I ended up getting, I couldn't get off the island and I got a lift in a speedboat with Ellie from LaRue.
Oh, that's brilliant.
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
I have been dining off that for a while now.
Have you?
Yeah, that's,
a speedboat?
Yeah, she had a speedboat hired out. But Ellie saved me last year.
That must have been mental. That must have been like, how long did it take? It must have taken like 10 minutes.
It was less than that. I think it was like 9 minutes or something.
Brilliant. How much does it cost to rent a speedboat for 9 minutes?
I think they got it cheap. Maybe she nicked it. I don't know.
Brilliant stuff. Well, thanks very much for coming on. Thanks very much for
talking to me. Thank you for having me. And thank you for playing that record. Yeah. Wonderful stuff. I hope everyone liked it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Can you, what's your favourite track at the moment, that maybe something off Abbey Road that really tickled your fancy that we could play out?
The Subtract album, but then you're not allowed to play anything off it, so that creates a bit of a problem.
When's the release date?
I think it's June or July. I think it's July
comes out.
But that's really good. Or Lower Dens, who played for us recently, they've got a track called Batman, which is awesome.
Okay, do you want to see?
Okay.
Yep. Sure.
So this is Lower Dens, fronted by the wonderful Jana Hunter, and this track is called Batman. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Shoreditch Radio.
Yeah, we're back in the studio, Conway Social Network, with Lloyd Griffiths.
Hello.
And Barnaby Slater.
That was a great song. What was that?
Oh, that was an amazing song, was it? Maybe you can tell me, because you made it.
That is the first ever song about assisted suicide. And if anybody wants to tell me that's not the truth, then they can write in or email me. But I believe it is. And yeah, it's by my band Swamp Donkey Sound System. And I think you'll agree it was surprisingly good.
Yeah, it was called Nightbus to Dignitas.
That's right, yeah.
Very nice. I like it.
I would also suggest, after listening to this podcast, that you go and look at the video as well, which is also very good.
Yep.
You're wearing a lot of makeup in the video. You look rather sexy.
You obviously haven't seen the direct parody of Nothing Compares to You by Sinead O'Connor in that video.
When I saw that, I thought, this is very Sinead.
We were one backlight away from it being exactly the same. I believe she spent more money than zero on hers. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't seem... It looked like you spent a lot on your video.
I appreciate that very much. Cool. My new best friend, Lloyd Griffiths, everyone. Yeah.
No S on the end.
Lloyd Griffith, everybody.
Griffith. What have you brought for us?
What have I brought for you?
Yeah.
My A game.
Your A game.
What are you talking about?
Ah, no, because you were talking to me before about the story that you were going to bring in today.
Oh, I can tell you, yeah. Story-wise. I thought it was interesting this week about Max Mosley has brought a fight to the EU courts about privacy. And the reason I think it's interesting is because it sounds boring, obviously. But the truth is that Max Mosley, for those who don't know, was caught in a fivesome Nazi-based sadomasochistic orgy.
Which is also still available to watch on the internet as well.
I believe so, yeah. And if not, just type in mflix.com and you'll find something similar. Anyway, he was caught in that and stung by the news of the world and then, you know, lost his job, for instance. And then he's brought this case into the European courts. In that the idea is that everybody deserves their privacy. Mm-hmm. And I personally think that's true, even if you're a celebrity. However, as I was saying earlier on, I do believe there's a grey area, which is, you know, celebrities or people who make a living out of flaunting their, you know, be it their bodies or their families. So, for instance, I don't know her, but from what I see on TV, she does this, Katy Price / Jordan, basically makes money and a career out of giving up her privacy. So therefore, I don't think she should be able to complain about privacy. However, I think Max Mosley, if he wants to take part in sadomasochistic orgies and they're legal, which they are.
Are they illegal or legal? Sorry.
No, legal.
Oh, okay.
No, it's totally legal. You know, everyone was consenting, for instance. He should be able to do that. Why not? And it's not my business, I don't think, to read about that. Lloyd, what do you think?
Well, I was reading about that today and you're right. If you don't choose to be, he's in the public light for his job. You know what I mean? His job with the FIA was quite a senior position. Yep. And what he did in his spare time, he did in his spare time. Why we need to know that, I don't know. It's just because of the world we live in now. We want to know about people's sordid lives because of other people have gone, look at my life, and then we're going, okay, that's great, but we want to see, we want to know about people's lives that we don't know. Do you know what I mean? So Max Mosley, for example.
It's basically just come down to the lowbrow nature of current, you know, the life we live, and that's, you know, because of what the tabloids have become, and because the tabloids have become that, we have then somehow started wanting this, whether we actually want it or not. It's like, I do buy the News of the World, and I, you know, I have these opinions, and yet I still look at it and will laugh and talk about it.
It's like,
it's almost self. It's almost you know, you can't help yourself. It's disgusting.
Shouldn't we be like paying more attention to our own sex lives and our own relationships as opposed to kind of being nosy and looking at what's going on in there?
Probably. If we did, we'd probably all be a lot happier, wouldn't we?
It's the whole Big Brother generation, isn't it? And how now there was a group of people that wanted their lives to be seen by the world, and everyone has gone, yeah, okay, well, we want to see everyone's lives in this whole CCTV world. And recently in the paper, this whole Pippa Middleton thing has come out. She hasn't chosen to be in the limelight. Her sister has married the future King of England. So as a direct result, she is now in the limelight. She has, obviously, on the wedding day, she was fantastic. And she looked beautiful. Absolutely stunning. As a result, people, journalists, are trying to dig in and found photos of her pre the wedding day and, you know, pre her life in the spotlight, kind of like cavorting in bra and knickers. I think that's disgusting. Do you know what I mean? Like, the pictures are lovely. I mean, the attitude that the journalist is taking just to try and find some dirt. It's like, she hasn't chosen to be in the limelight. It's happened as a result of something.
And I think the important thing coming from that day was that, you know, it really showed, you know, what an amazing queen Kate Middleton's going to be, agree, to allow her sister to look better than her on her wedding day.
Yeah.
And also that she's been so good to Prince William. There's never been any smut on Kate, and there's never been any compromising photos, and she's never talked to the press about their relationship. I always think that's quite...
Someone did say the other day that they think that is because there's been a gagging order, and that is the highest super injunction that you will ever see, that nothing can come about it. Whether that is the case or not... Then...
Also, from what I've heard, the gagging order is a very apt name for what's been going on there.
Going back to the wedding, I know it was a week or so ago, it was quite funny. Did you see the part where they put the ring on her finger and it kind of got stuck at the second knuckle, and you could see like half of the population of the world going, no, it's a special day. And then the other half just thinking, you fat bitch. When actually she's a rake. And then it was quite funny how Prince William decided not to wear a ring himself, and Hugh Edwards on the Prince William had decided not to wear a ring.
nice.
Not Zainab Badawi. And more of my friends said, oh, I wonder why that is. My other mate piped up quick as a flash, went, would you think it's so that when he's out in a club, like he's speaking to a girl, she doesn't think that he's married?
Yeah. Aww.
Do you not think a few billion people would have seen that?
Is he your thick mate? Like, there's always a thick mate in a group of mates, isn't there? And if
there isn't one, it's probably you.
Yeah.
Well, no, I actually made that up for comic purposes. Oh, I see. Testing material for
you
tomorrow.
You lie in your material.
That's very good. I saw the Pippa and Kate had their brother, and he was the only guy that did the speech in the cathedral.
Abby, sorry.
Yeah, the chorister will correct you.
I will correct you. It's an abbey. Just to let you know, it's a role peculiar. Abbey, the dean is only answerable to the Queen and not into the Archbishop of Canterbury. Carry on.
Fact finders. And he was reading, and I was just thinking, Christ, I didn't even know he had a brother. And I just expected, like, Prince William in an X Factor moment just to kind of, like, come in from the screen and kind of go, do you know in the X Factor when he goes, imagine all the pussy you're going to get. I just expected that to happen. But I just thought he's going to get laid so much. But I think he's gay.
I think it's fair to say that when he was doing his reading, Twitter went bananas. All of the gay people I know on Twitter and Facebook suddenly piped out. Came out of their shells, piped up. They're, oh, who, sexy Pippa's sis brother. Well, what's her name? Kate's brother.
I was actually making bacon sandwiches at the time of his speech, so I was out of the room, sadly.
Aww, you missed a corker.
Yeah, I did.
He was good, actually. It reminded me a lot of my head boy's speech when I was 13. I had to do the love bit from the Bible. It's good.
I didn't get made head boy at school.
Really?
Head of house and deputy head, but not a head boy, which was...
I was given head boy at my prep school, but I think that was because three people turned it down.
Were you at boarding school?
No.
Oh man, I really always wanted to go to boarding school. You could have like midnight feast and stuff.
I didn't want
amazing.
To because my parents loved me, so it wasn't necessary.
Oh, that's good. I think we've got to round up now.
What?
Oh, what?
Just got going.
I know.
Just got going, sweet.
Delroy.
Well, I've enjoyed myself.
We've enjoyed having you here. I've enjoyed having you here. I really appreciate you, you guys coming along and throwing in your tuppence.
When's the next one?
It'll be in 2 weeks' time.
I'm available.
Are you?
So that's cool, yeah.
Yeah, would you like to come on again?
Yeah.
I'd like to have you both on again. It'd be really nice to kind of...
Don't invite anyone else, though.
Be more than happy to come along again.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate you coming on. You can find me on Twitter at Eleanor Conway. Also got a monthly comedy night on June the 2nd, July the 7th. If you want to come along, it's in Hoxton. You got anything you want to plug?
I was just going to say, I follow Eleanor on Twitter and it's great. I'm looking forward to finding out about the date. I'm on Twitter at Barnaby Slater. And also...
I'm on Twitter as well.
Oh, really?
Randomly, at Lloyd Griffith, no S. And I will be looking out to see how the S dog got on.
I also have a series of sketches called "The Question on Everyone's Lips."
I've seen it; it's
which
very good.
You could type into YouTube "Barnaby Slater: The Question on Everyone's Lips," and you'll see me and various celebrities doing comedy type stuff.
Brilliant! All right, well, to play us out, this was a track.
Sorry, Lloyd, do you not have a sketch series?
It's got an advert.
I'm an advert. I get paid for my adverts, mate. You know
you get
I mean,
paid
so.
In love.
I get paid in kudos and soul.
Ah, that's beautiful. We're getting the sign of hurrying up. Although there's like a twig breaking. It's my bones breaking if I don't round up. Okay, good. All right, let's outro on a track suggested by actually a mate of mine called Jamie Rothwell. It's the Lovely Eggs. Don't look at me.
Eyes. Look at him with his dog dirt eyes. Look at her with her rabbit's fur tail. Look at him with his dressing gown nose. Look at her with her cul-de-sac arms. Look at him with his wheelchair hand. Look at her with her car boot bones. Look at him, look at him, look at him, look at her. Don't look at me, I don't like it. Don't look at her, she doesn't like it. Don't look at him, he doesn't like him. Don't look at her, because everyone knows she's got a washing line smile. Look at her with a washing line smile. Look at her with a washing line smile. Look at him with his doctor eyes. Look at her with a rabbit's fur tail. Look at him with his dressing gown nose. Look at her with a car boot bones. Look at him with his wheelchair heart. Look at her, look at her, look at her, look at her. Don't look at me, I don't like it. Don't look at him, he doesn't like it. Don't
sausage roll thumb. Look at him with his sausage roll thumb. Look at him with his sausage roll thumb. Look at her with a washing line smile. Look at him with his doctor eyes. Look at her with a dressing gown nose. Look at him with his polythene bow. Look at her with a hairdryer heart. Look at him, look at him, look at him, look at him. Don't look at me, I don't like it. Don't look at him, he doesn't like it. Don't look at her, she doesn't like it. So don't look at him, and don't look at me. We know you're spiders, there's nothing to see. We're lying on the grass, just hanging around. But we need some wine, so lend us a pound. Look at us with the red wine smiles. Look at us with the red wine smiles. Look at him with his sausage roll thumb. Look at her with a washing line tape. Look at him with his doctor eyes. Look at her with a wheelchair heart. Look at him with his dressing gown nose. Look at him, look at him, look at him, look at him. Don't look at me, I don't like it. Don't look at him, he doesn't like it. Don't look at her, she doesn't like it. So don't look at him, and don't look at me. We're out on a boat that is far out to sea. We clearly need help, so throw us a bone and turn this shit round, cause we wanna go.
You're listening to Sure Ditch Radio.
SureDitchRadio.co.uk.
In the mix.